Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The winds of change are blowing through Raider Nation, and Silver and Black Today keeps you up to date with the latest news and views about your Las Vegas Raiders.
Touchdown, Las Vegas!
With insight, opinions, and interviews, we're on the cutting edge of what's happening now. Now, with the latest on your Raiders and the NFL, your hosts, Scott Goldbranson and Mo Moten.
Welcome back. It is time for another enthralling edition of Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey original sports podcast covering your Las Vegas Raiders. Hey, everybody. I am Scott Cabranson, your host, along with my partner in crime, the man, not even the myth anymore. Now he is like a legend, Midtown Mo, Mr. Mo Moten. He is the national NFL writer at Bleacher Report, so he covers the entire league. You can catch his stuff up there. You can also catch his Raiders content on sportsnot.com, where he is a Raiders columnist. Yes, he's so big that not one website can contain him. Mo, good to see you, man. How was your weekend? Are you ready? You ready for the combine for some of this stuff that's going to... It's lying season, yes, but we're going to actually see some results now.
Right. This is the kind of the first taste of NFL prospects for a lot of people. You know, majority of people aren't cramming film and watching these prospects. So it's their first real look at, you know, guys who are going to throw at the combine among the quarterbacks, guys who are going to do the broad jump, long jump, run their 40s, bench press for the guys in the trenches, the offensive linemen, defensive linemen. So I think this is kind of like the first, for some people, this is kind of the first taste into NFL draft season, which is exciting.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Of course, now this is where I want to say to people too, because it's funny. I've been tweeting stories out and this kind of stuff, and the reaction is so funny. Oh, this is crap. Or oh, this sounds good. And it's funny because people are like, well, it doesn't mean anything. And in fact, it really doesn't, right? Until you start doing things. But I will say this week, and I'm going to be up at the combine starting on Tuesday through Sunday, so I'll be there almost every single day, except with the exception of Friday. So I'll be at the press conferences. I'll be there. I'll kind of get the skinny of what's going on. We'll hear what's going on. But Mo, we talked about it last time. This is where deals start happening. They can't be consummated officially until March 14th, but this is where it starts. This is where trades start. This is where trades in the draft start. This is where free agent conversations, because yes, there's fans at the combine and there's obviously a crap ton of media, but really this is where executives, coaches, scouting, front office people are there, and they get to kind of intermingle and start to work on things in person before they all go back to their respective locations and prepare for the draft. So I anticipate a very busy week, and hopefully we'll do the show, by the way, Wednesday. I'll do the show from the combine as well, so we'll get you up to date on the latest of what we're hearing with the Raiders. But this is where it all starts happening, Mo.
It's funny because, you know, there's this legal tampering period for the NFL when teams can reach out to players, but we all know the truth that, as you said, at the combine, that's when all the deals are talked about. Usually a group of the media, writers and reporters, kind of get together and kind of share notes on, you know, what they've been hearing. And that's how you get these stories after the combine about such and such has been talked about in trade discussions, such and such might be cut or released. That's where it all comes from. Of course, it's separate from the actual coaches and general managers having their discussions at wherever they're eating at, whatever restaurant they're at. But it's always an exciting time because of the rumor mill that comes out after at the combine.
Yes, that is exactly what. So I will be in smack in the middle of it and try to get Raider Nation here some notes and some information. Although I think, you know, it's pretty straightforward what we've seen in the last few days as far as news goes. First, I want to address and I want to get your thoughts. The Raiders coaching staff is now complete. They announced it officially this week with a list of all of the coaches, in case we kind of knew almost everybody that was going to be joining Antonio Pierce's staff. Of course, he is the head coach, the assistant head coach, Marvin Lewis. Matt Sheldon is a game management coach. We know Luke Getsy. Edgar Bennett is back as wide receivers coach. You have James Craig coming over to coach the offensive line. Joe Philbin, we talked about him a little bit, senior offensive assistant. DeAndre Pierce, the coach's son, is the offensive assistant. And we talked about Rich Scangarello as well as a quarterback's coach. Anybody here surprise you? Anybody excite you as far as the coaching staff? It's hard, right? Because most people, again, too, unless you're talking about OC or DC, most fans don't know deeply about the coaching staff, especially from the position standpoint, other than guys that have been there for a while. But anything that surprised you or anything that sticks out for you?
Well, the Raiders didn't get Clint Kubiak, who was with the 49ers staff under Kyle Shanahan. He's going to New Orleans. But they did get, I believe it was James Craig, who was an offensive line coach over with the San Francisco 49ers. Yep. So they didn't get exactly Kubiak, but they still got a Shanahan disciple, so to speak. So I expect the Raiders to have a lot of outside zone run plays, which is what Luke Getsy had in Chicago. So I kind of the marriage between Luke Getsy and James Craig as far as systems and schematics are concerned match up. I'm not going to say that the Raiders are going to run a 49ers-like offense because they don't have 49ers players, Christian McCaffrey, but Deebo Samuel. But I think what you're going to get is a team that's going to be a run-first team, unless somebody like Kirk Cousins comes to Las Vegas. I don't see the fit there. But unless they get a veteran quarterback who's used to high-volume passing, you're going to get a run-first team, especially if you're going to have an inexperienced quarterback. And I think you're going to have a system with a mobile quarterback. That's not a shot at Aiden O'Connell, but looking at Luke Getsy's history, he's worked with mobile quarterbacks, and I think that will continue in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Is I think you look at this gives you clues, right? And until the coaching staff gets their roster, a roster together, it's hard to kind of pass judgment or to understand what they may or may not do. Because they don't have the pieces all in place, and it starts with the quarterback, as you mentioned. And I think that that's something that we're going to look into as we go into the combine, which is the Raiders have needs. You know, a lot of people want to look at it as a very simple solution or a simple equation, and that is, okay, the Raiders are close or the Raiders are not close. But the reality is it's somewhere in between. The Raiders, I believe, should be a playoff team next year based on that, all depending on what happens at quarterback. I mean, I just have to say that because even with Aiden O'Connell, who did – okay, again, everybody wants to we want to temper it a little bit. He did okay last year in the situation he was in as a fourth round rookie. You have to consider all of that. But if they can get somebody in at quarterback who's a difference maker, even if it's a rookie, then I think you start to look at that and say, okay, this team can perform there. But they also have to fill spots on the offensive line and get depth on the offensive line. They also need to fill spots on the defensive line and the defensive backfield as well. As we head into the combine, obviously story number one is going to be quarterback. I looked at the schedule, Mo. Tom Telesco speaks to the media on Tuesday morning, so I'll be there for that. But it does not appear the Raiders are making Antonio Pierce available, which is fine. You know, the Rams don't even send anyone to the combine. So teams have different approaches. But with this new regime, we're obviously seeing, for whatever reason, they've decided to have Antonio Pierce either stay home or he'll be there and he just won't be speaking officially to the media. So we'll have to see which one it is. But heading into the combine, is there any bigger question than quarterback? And outside of quarterback, what else do you see here for the Raiders that they really need to poke around and get a good sense for this draft class?
The biggest question is obviously quarterback. There was a story that came out this past weekend, I guess we're going to talk about on today's show, about the quarterback position and what Antonio Pierce and Tom Telesco think about their quarterback room currently. But outside of that, you mentioned it earlier a few minutes ago, the offensive line. The Raiders have to figure out what they're going to do with their offensive line. Obviously, Pierce said he wants to be able to throw the ball, but we all know that the makeup of his football team that he wants is a physical football team. And to me, the way you build that is inside out. So you build that through the trenches, your defensive line, your offensive line. The Raiders still need a defensive tackle, whether they bring Adam Butler, John Jenkins, and Bilal Nichols back or not. I think they need to draft a defensive lineman, defensive tackle specifically, and offensive line. We'll see. I think they can go after a right tackle early. Guards are usually drafted on day two, not day one, unless they have the versatility to play outside. But I assume the Raiders are going to add at least one guard, at least one tackle between free agency and the draft. So those would be two spots along the offensive line we'll look at. I assume Dylan Parham is going to shift over from guard to center. We'll see. Even if he doesn't, then you're going to have to draft a center because I don't think Andre James will be back. Other than that, you're looking at the cornerback position. I think that's a spot where, if you're building a team inside out, cornerback is not a top priority, but to me, it's still on the list because Meek Robertson is going to be a free agent. Nate Hobbs, while he can play outside, to me, he's better in the slot. You're going to have to address the cornerback position opposite Jack Jones.
Yeah, and I think that we're going to get into that next segment too. And I wrote a piece up on SportsNot as part of our combine coverage about five cornerbacks fans should watch. And so I'll get your comments on that one too. But the quarterback question, it's really interesting because I see this situation and it's really interesting because fans will often tell those of us who do shows, whether it's podcasts, whether it's writing, whether it's radio, doesn't matter. They'll tell you guys don't know any more than anybody else. And they're right. We're making educated guesses. We look at things and we say, okay, here's what we think could happen. But at the same time, really, and you've said this last show, Mo, we don't know what the Raiders feel. If the Raiders feel that Drake May is the guy that will change forever the trajectory of the Raider franchise, they will do whatever they can to try to get to two or one to get the quarterback they want, whether it's him, whether it's Caleb Williams, doesn't matter. They will do that. And people will argue, well, you can't give up that much draft capital. You can't do this. You can't do that. Now, until something actually happens, it's hard to evaluate it. But I think that we're starting to see even Peter King, who announced his retirement on Monday, by the way, longtime NFL columnist, 50 years covered the NFL. He believes that the Bears are going to trade out. I disagree with him. He knows a lot more than I do. Okay, I'll make that fair. I just don't see the Bears doing it. But it just goes to show you that going into the combine this week and then going into the draft in a few weeks, nobody really knows. But at the end of the day, Mo, if a team wants their guy and they believe in their heart of hearts, you got to do it. They will do whatever it takes to get there.
Yeah, and we'll see if the Raiders feel like it's worth moving up for a draft prospect or if they could move up for a draft prospect. Because at the end of the day, it takes two to tango, right? You can't trade up with yourself. You need a trade partner if you want to move up. And I've said this going back to, I don't know, early January, that the spot, if the Raiders are going to make a splash with a trade moving up, to me, the highest that they can go is probably third.
Yeah.
And because I think there's a real possibility that the Patriots trade out. If the Patriots stay at three, I think it's a possibility the Raiders can still get into the top 10 with one of the teams that may not necessarily want a quarterback in the first round. May draft a quarterback, but just not necessarily in the first round. So I think there are some spots between 5 and 10 where the Raiders can move up if they want someone who may be available and they want to leap over the Denver Broncos and Minnesota Vikings. If they stand pat at 13, I think fans should embrace the idea that they may not go quarterback with their first draft pick, that they may go with a tackle. Or I wouldn't recommend going cornerback, though they could probably get the best cornerback in the draft at 13, potentially, Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. But I think it's going to be quarterback or a tackle, in my opinion. And if they go tackle, then we could possibly see them trade back the first round or get their quarterback in the second round, which is not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, that's true too. Especially, I mean, if they really like a guy like Penix or Nix may fall. I don't know. Again, the draft is such a feel thing. Like when you get to draft day, depending on what happens above you, it impacts everybody picking below. So, for example, our good friend Kelly Kreiner was giving me crap because I said last time that I could see Marvin Harrison dropping and really dropping a spot or two, because I could see the Cardinals, if somebody really want, if quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3 and somebody wants to get to 4 to get a quarterback, if that's the way it's going, I could see the Cardinals trading down 2 or 3 spots because they can still get Marvin Harrison. Like, he can drop 2 spots. I'm not saying he's dropping to the second round, but you know, you just don't know what happens on that day. And I think heading into the combine, one of the things that I'm really interested to hear when I'm up there is the Vikings. The Vikings, there's a lot of coverage coming out now. A lot of people saying the Vikings are really thinking about being aggressive and moving up to get a quarterback. Boy, that changes things, right? Because the Vikings were not a team, especially if they do re-sign Cousins, they're not a team you think about. We continue to see our good friends who cover the Giants saying that the Giants are interested in a quarterback. So it could be really, really messy. And the Raiders might have to pay a lot, but if they feel it's worth it, they can do it. And when the cornerbacks, which we'll talk about in the next segment, there are some really good ones. It's a good class. And so you're right. I could see them very easily if they love a guy and they still can't get up there to get him in that top of the first round, very easily see them going offensive lineman or even cornerback in the first round, because those are all impact players and those are all positions of great need for the Raiders. And so it'll be interesting to hear and see who the Raiders spend time with at the combine. It'll at least give us some hints. It's not going to give us the answers, but that'll tell us a little bit about maybe some of the direction they're going, Mo, when we see sort of who they're focusing in on up in Indianapolis.
So just remember that offensive line men usually don't make headlines. They're not catching touchdown passes. They're not rushing for touchdowns.
Yeah.
But if you listen to Antonio Pierce, and I listened to Antonio Pierce's full interview with Ryan Clark, Fred Taylor, Channing Crowning on the Pivot, it's clear to me he wants to build a bully. And if you look at the division, right, the one weakness that I saw in the Chiefs is that you can run the ball. You know, there are times where you can control the line of scrimmage against the Chiefs. When the Raiders beat the Chiefs, I know they did it with 2 defensive touchdowns, but they did it with a physical nature, right? Mm-hmm. You got Harbaugh going to the Los Angeles Chargers. What does he usually do when he gets to a football team? Immediately turns into a physical team.
Yes.
So I think Antonio Pierce is gonna want to build a bully in the AFC West. And the way you do that, and I'll repeat this again and again until the draft, the way you build a bully is through the trenches.
Yep.
So I feel like if it's not quarterback, it has to be someone on a defensive or offensive line for the Rays that they pick at 13, assuming they stay at 13. And I think that's where they're going to go. So I'm going to be talking a lot about offensive linemen. And people are going to say, I know there are a lot of people out there who are fans of Thayer Munford Jr. But let's be honest. Thayer Munford Jr. hasn't done enough to say that he's the bona fide starter there at right tackle. Jermaine Illuminar, we'll see what happens. He's going to be a free agent. A lot of Jets fans want Jermaine Illuminar, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think the Raiders go with another tackle to say, okay, now we have our bookend tackles in Colt Miller and maybe whoever they draft to protect our quarterback, whoever that is going to be.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Yeah, and that's where I think, too, Mo, that people, like you said, it's not sexy to talk about offensive line, but I think Raider fans know sort of, and they've heard from Antonio Pierce, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I think Antonio Pierce has told us who he wants to be, who he wants this team to be. So listen to him, right? Mm-hmm. And that gets into a little bit of the controversy we saw last week, towards the end of the week, related to that interview, which was this idea that, and of course, Pro Football Talk jumps on and says, well, they might hear from the NFL because Antonio Pierce basically said he wants to, and I'm paraphrasing because he didn't exactly say it, he wants to rip off Mahomes. He wants to basically rip off the head of the snake, so to speak. He wants to be physical. And you know what? When you look at the Chiefs, when they have been beat, whether it be in the Super Bowl, or the playoffs, regular season, teams are successful when they rattle Patrick Mahomes and they're very physical. So I don't put any stock into this. Well, he said something like the bounty gate. Oh, BS. And I'm not here to, you know, rah-rah fan AP. I'm just telling you it was overblown. And I will tell you this, the one thing I've learned, and I've not been around him, right? physically. The one thing I've learned about Antonio Pierce, Mo, is that he's one smart dude. He does everything with purpose. And so he knew when he would say something like that, that it would raise the ire of people. But more than anything, he wants his team to believe what he's been preaching to them, which is we are going to be physical. We're going to have ill intent and we're going to win football games, like you said, in the trenches and by being physical. Now, we see all these stories. Well, now the refs are really going to watch the race. BS. If they don't do anything that's not illegal, they're going to be fine. It has nothing to do with illegal things. People jump to that. And in reality, this is about beating up your opponent on the lines, in the trenches, and getting to the quarterback to disrupt him, because you can't beat Patrick Mahomes without disrupting. It was the most overblown story I think I've seen in a long time.
I have two thoughts about this, right? One, yes, it was overblown, because I think what happened with Antonio Pierce and his comments is he said the quiet part out loud, right? So what team against the Chiefs, what team playing against the Chiefs doesn't say we have to rough up Patrick Mahomes to win this football game? I think that's the game plan of most teams playing the Chiefs.
Of course.
You got to get Patrick Mahomes on the ground. Now, they don't say that part to the public, and this is why coaches and general managers don't talk to media much, because everything could be taken out of context or taken and blown up way out of proportion. But Antonio Pierce basically said the quiet part that he says to his team, that he preaches to his team every week out loud. I'm sure Dan Campbell says the same thing to his players.
Of course.
I'm sure the 49ers, before they played the Chiefs, said the same thing to their players. Look, we got to rough up Patrick Mahomes. Yep. But he said it to the media for it to be used as, you know, content. And now everyone's like, oh my gosh, they're trying to kill Patrick Mahomes. Not literally, but they're trying to, you know, put him in the ground. Now, I will say this on the other side of it is that Antonio Pierce has to be careful, because I do think that his comments draw attention to the Raiders and not put a bullseye on them, but people remember comment. We're all human, right?
Sure.
So people are going to remember what Antonio Pierce says. So any call that's on the line in the gray area, it may work against the Raiders, because remembering those comments, they say, well, this team is going to play physical. They're going to play kind of rough. You know how refs do. Let's be honest about refs. Sometimes they want to control the football game. We want to make sure things don't get out of hand. So we're going to call early penalties. We're going to call the game tight so that things don't go too far over the line. Yeah, it's a physical game, but we're going to make sure it stays within the guidelines of the rules. So I think that's something to be careful of, that when you're talking to the media, be careful about what you say, because things do become a story that are not really a story. Mm-hmm. And because of the human element, referees are human. They could take some of these comments and say, well, this team has a history of being physical. Antonio Pierce wants to be physical. Let's call the game a certain way. And you have to be careful about that, because we all know the league is trying to protect quarterbacks. I'm just saying, you got to be mindful of that.
Absolutely. And that's true. So you know, if you're the Raiders and you play the Chiefs, everybody's seen these comments now, right? And they, like you said, they won't forget them. So if you go in and you sack the quarterback and you land on him, guess what? Yeah. They're going to call, even if it's close, they're going to call it on you. Yep. So that's fine, though. He's made that trade-off. The other thing I want to mention before we hit the break here with these comments, and I don't have any problem with it, because at the end of the day, Antonio Pierce, to me, appears to be supremely confident that he's ready to take this team and make a jump. Great. Sounds good. Fans are excited about it. It's awesome. But I will tell you this. The Chiefs, 3 Super Bowls in the last 6 years, right? So guess what? Now you've basically said to them, we're going to come beat you. You've given them bulletin board fodder. So the Raiders, when they play the Chiefs, got to be ready. Now, I'm not saying they don't have to be ready for the rest of the teams, Mo, but this is your division rival. And so now, and again, they're the best team in football with the best quarterback in football. This is the way it is, as much as Raider Nation hates that. So when you play the Chiefs, you better come out and play them next year, because now you've basically said, we're coming after you, and you got to believe. And as Antonio Pierce says, my resume is on the grass. Your resume against the Chiefs on the grass as a franchise over the last 10 years has not been good. Now, it got better on Christmas Day. That's one win. That does not make a renewed rivalry. That does not make a streak. You now have to prepare yourself and be ready. And Mo, that's the other piece of it here. It's great gamesmanship, but this is a good team. We'll see what happens with the Chiefs in the offseason and what happens with the Raiders. But man, you're talking the talk. You got to walk the walk too.
Yeah, but this is it. This is Antonio Pierce. This is who he is. I think listening to Antonio Pierce talk,
of course,
right? He's not gonna make any, you know. I would say he's gonna make it known. He's not. He's gonna make it known that he's coming after you. So that yes. I expect. That's who Antonio Pierce is. If he's coming after you, he's gonna tell you, "I'm coming after you. I'm gonna knock your head off."
Exactly.
So that's what he wants his team to reflect. I think when I listened to The Pivot again, if you haven't listened to The Pivot with Antonio Pierce, listen to that hour 9 seconds. You learn a lot about what he wants this Raider team to be. That he wants this team, this organization, to be a reflection of him. So when he talks like that to the media and he talks tough and physical, he's expecting his team to hear that. I think when you talk to the media in that type of setting or in any setting, a lot of times coaches want to send messages to their players through the media.
Yes.
So, yeah, you send messages to them one-on-one. You have team meetings. You talk to them privately, whatever. But there are certain times when you can get a message across by saying something to the media, knowing that it's going to catch waves and catch lines, because that catches people's attention. Like, oh, this guy's, you know, he really means what he says. He doesn't just say it to us. He says it to the public. So it's real. So I think when he talks the way he talks, very straightforward, telling the Chiefs that we're coming after you, I think that build that goes into what he's trying to build in Las Vegas. Now, he's one that I will say, while the rivalry has been lopsided between the Raiders and the Chiefs, Antonio Pierce is 1-1 against the Chiefs with an impressive win against them on Christmas Day. So I could see why he's confident that he could take down the Chiefs.
Sure.
He's done it. He's done it before.
He's demystified it, right? He's demystified it for that team. So if you're a Raider right now, and we'll see what happens with the roster, the last experience you had with the world champions was you beat the crap out of them. Right. So I get that. And that's how fans feel too. So I understand it. And when we come back, we'll talk a little more about that too, about the quarterback situation. We're also going to get into, I wrote a piece up on SportsNot about cornerbacks. So I'm going to try to convince Mo that the Raiders, if they don't get a quarterback in the first round, they should get a cornerback before they get a tackle. We'll see if I can convince them. But when we get back, we're going to talk about that here on Silver and Black today. We're in full off-season mode, but we got the combine come up. I'm excited to be up there, and we will be doing our show from there Wednesday. Mo will be at his lair in New York City, but we will be doing that live from the combine as long as internet holds up. So we'll come back after this message here on Silver and Black today, an Odyssey Sports original podcast covering the Las Vegas Raiders. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.